The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. A man going on a journey called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. Immediately, the one who received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. Likewise, the one who received 2 made another 2. But the man who received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. After a long time, the one who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing the additional 5. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received 2 talents also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. Come, share your master's joy." Then the one who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, "Master, I knew you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant, and gathering where you did not scatter. So out of fear, I went off and buried your talent in the ground. Here it is back." The master said to him in reply, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not plant, and gather where I did not scatter? Should you not then have put my money in the bank, so that I could have got it back with interest on my return? Now then, take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And throw this useless servant into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. So I want to just start off by saying that we're back from our parish pilgrimage. The bus pulled into the parking lot here last night about 10 o'clock. And I think we had a great pilgrimage. Hopefully you'll see some pictures in the bulletin this weekend and next weekend. I have to tell you, it's an experience when you're traveling like that, and you're always running behind because people have decided to shop when they're not supposed to shop, or people have decided not to come back to the bus when they're supposed to come back to the bus. So we arrive at these fabulous, fantastic places to celebrate Mass, cathedrals and holy shrines and sacred places, and I get there and I am out of breath and I am sweaty because we had to run to the chapel, and then I'm realizing I don't know who the lector is, and I don't even know where the tabernacle is sometimes. Oh, and by the way, where is the tabernacle key, and all those kinds of things that you would normally have kind of in place. So it's nice to be back today to order here at St. Bernadette, because when you're on the fly, it's a little bit hard. One of the things we did discover, though, is that we wanted to be attentive to what God was saying to us in the moment, wherever we were and whatever the circumstances might be. And one of the things I talked about, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, too, is this whole idea about fairness and unfairness in the gospel and how we listen to that in our modern age. I think you could listen to the gospel today and say, well, it's not really fair that one guy got 5 or one lady got 2 or somebody only got 1 talent. You know, the master's going off and not really knowing when he's going to come back. What are we supposed to do with this? I think this whole idea of fairness and unfairness is something that's based more in the self than in the community itself. And so I want to talk about how we consider that today. Shouldn't all of us get 5 talents? Am I a 5? Do I want to be a 5? Maybe I'm only a 2, or should I even use the word only? Is there some kind of shame in that somehow, that God gave me 2 talents? This is really how the world thinks about these things. I don't want to be a 1, God forbid. But if we observe the parable today, and we realize that God knows what is best for us, he knows us better than we know ourselves. And there are many reasons why we may not know ourselves very well. We may be wired by experience in life to be overachievers, or we might desire attention. We may tie our self-worth on a kind of evaluation of how we perform. So note in the gospel today that all are expected the same return, though it's not quantitatively equal. It isn't about how much you start with. It's about what you do with what God gives you. All are expected to take what they are given and work with it, at least returning as much as they were given with interest. The one who had 5 came back with another 5, doubled. The second one who had 2, he doubled. The other one didn't try and just buried it in the ground. There is an effort grade that's important here. I don't think, I'm pretty sure I used to be one of those pastors that used to go around to all the classrooms and hand out report cards to all the kids. Now it's all done electronically, so that's gone. But I would always look at the report card, and I wouldn't look at the grade. I would look at the effort grade. Like if you're a child and you do B work or C work, if that's what you do best, that's fine, as long as you're doing your best. So there used to be an effort grade there that said this is how well you're trying to work with what you have. It's more important than performance. And it's the same way in the spiritual life. None of us are at the same place. So why should we approach spirituality with a kind of consumerist mentality? So the word of encouragement today is this is not a competition. Whether you get 5 or 2 or 10 or 4 or 1, it's not a competition. Each of us is different according to the gifts we've received. And it isn't that some gifts are better than others or somehow deficient compared to others, or it's more is better, less is worse. That's not what this is about. Because difference actually provides diversity. Diversity is one of those words that's a little bit overused today. But in this particular sense, I think it makes perfect sense. Difference is important in order that the body of Christ may have its fullest expression. So I also want to give a word about cultural convention. And I thought that this first reading is like the perfect example. There is a pressure on us by cultural convention based on the judgment of other people. And for this reason, we may find ourselves judging ourselves and each other even more harshly than God would ever do. The example is in the first reading today. There were cultural expectations of a wife that don't even speak particularly to today. It's very dated, isn't it? It's like 2,000 years old. But it's a snapshot about how people expected others to be. I love recommending this first reading to couples who are preparing for marriage for a reading at their wedding, mostly because brides recoil from this reading. Were you listening to it this morning? So, bride, how do you feel about the worthy wife being based on these values? If you're a worthy wife, you are valued more than pearls. That's crazy, isn't it? It's a little objectification going on there. Her husband has an unfailing prize. That's a little one-sided, isn't it? What does the wife have? She brings good, not evil. She obtains wool and flax, working with loving hands. So where would you go back to buy flax today? Brides, is this working for you? So put your hands to the distaff, whatever that is. Fingers, ply the needle. Spin and sew, girls. Be generous to the poor, because your beauty and charm are fleeting and basically won't last. So instead, fear the Lord and be rewarded for your labors. But do you see what we've done is we've set up this kind of category of how people have to be. And so when I talk to brides and grooms about this kind of thing, I say, you know what? It's good to know that whether you're a husband or a wife, roles are not that simple or depressing. These messages should be applied to husbands too. Like in the old rite, you used to say, you can kiss the bride. Husbands, you can kiss the bride. So why wouldn't we say you can kiss the husband? But we don't. It's about where we find ourselves right now. And we provide a return to the glory of God. Just like the gospel parable today. He is the source of the gift. He is the reason why we use it. He is the reason why we are here. All of this is not for us. It's for him. Liturgically speaking, this is one of the marvels that I like to talk about when we celebrate the Mass. Because we can see the process. God provides the grain. We make the bread. We offer it back to him to become grace and presence. God provides the grapes. We make the wine and offer it back to God to become grace and blessing, the blood of Christ. God gives us the bees who make the wax. We make the candle. It becomes the light of Christ, the symbol of his presence among us. We're definitely involved in the process, aren't we? Each of us with our own role in providing that offering to God at every Mass. Each of you today are actively involved in this offering. So that we will take part in this great movement of grace, Christ himself, bringing all of creation back to the Father in himself.